Let me share something lovely with you. My friend, Dr. Brian Simmons, has just finished a translation of the Song of Songs, which is magnificent. He's a Hebrew scholar, and he's now working on the Psalms and then going to be doing Luke and Acts as one book. And I've just been meditating on some of these verses. I encourage you here to always be looking at the word in many different versions. And I do that because you can have one Bible, read it all your life, and not realize that the wording of some verses may not be showing you what God really is saying. And you might read it in one version and then look at nine other versions and find out that a whole half of that verse was not actually even in the original text. It's been added because of the interpretation of the translator. And so we got to remember we are reading a English translation of another language, and it's a very good thing. I encourage you to. It's divinely delicious to get into the Word. It really is. Just, yummy. And this is particularly good. Pastor Brian's actually going to be with us in March, so he'll bring these out, which will be fantastic. You can have a look on the net to order them. But I just want to read you just one little verse here from chapter 2. It's verse 1. Oh, it's Song of Solomon's. Song of Solomon. It says here, the bride speaking, "I am truly the rose of his heart, the very theme of his song. I'm his ever-fresh lily, growing even in the valley." And you know, this is the way God wants you to think about yourself in his presence. He wants you to be able to say to him, "I am a rose. I am an ever-fresh lily." You're not some tired, pathetic victim that just manages to stay and cope. You don't just survive, but you thrive, and you're beautiful, and you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you are full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. You are strong because of what he has done. And, you know, the Lord is doing this great awakening that we've been speaking about for a long time. He's awakening the bride to the truth, and it is so powerful. I want to show you something here in Hebrews chapter 4. Father, I'm asking, Spirit of God, Lord, that you would awaken our hearts to fresh adoration tonight through the revelation of your word. Oh God, we want to adore you more. And God, we love you and we adore you because you have first loved us. God, we ask for more revelation. We ask that you'd truly give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Lord, I'm asking that every word that is spoken, Lord, would take deep roots and spring up and produce a great harvest field in our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, everybody said, amen. It's so lovely to have my sister Debbie here. Debbie Glasson is one of the saints in the kingdom. She is most, most famous in heaven. Does amazing work in the prison. So many lives transformed through this lady. Just, she got saved and boom, 100 mile an hour, hasn't stopped. How many years now, Debbie? 11 years. 11 majorly fruitful years. Right from the get-go, she got saved, that was it. She couldn't help, but where can I go? Where can I go? How can I share the message? And so many lives have been transformed and brought into the kingdom. So I just want to honor you today. Debbie, we love you. We love you. We love you. Hallelujah. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love Jesus. There's not enough songs that start with what I want to say. Oh, how I love Jesus. Yes, I do. Hallelujah. Hebrews. Because he first loved me. Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. Hebrews chapter 4. Are you excited? Oh, you should be. It's good. Verse 9. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Pretty blue wrens. I was watching the birds dance this afternoon. They do a dance every afternoon. It's so beautiful. They also have rested from their works, as he himself had also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We can boldly come before the throne of grace. Boldly come, not by our works, not by our efforts, but by resting in the finished work of the cross. Because he has rested and said, "It is finished." He did a complete work on the cross. Took all of your sin. Hello, Peter. I'm so sorry. I had to say hello. I haven't seen you for a very long time. He did a complete work, resting. As he said, it is finished. He completely took our sin. He took our sickness. Everything you've ever done, past, present, or future, was taken upon the body of Jesus Christ and paid for in full. It is finished. Now he says, all you have to do is believe that I have taken this sin and receive the mercy that I freely give you. That's why you really need to look at this, at the translations. They will amaze you as you begin to really look into it. You'll see, if you've been looking at just one translation, you'll see that the overwhelming evidence is the clarity of the message of grace, the message of truth, the message of freedom. Sometimes people add to it to try because it doesn't seem like it should be that easy. But it is finished. And it was for freedom that he set us free. Hallelujah. He's not afraid of your freedom. People and religion have sometimes tried to add to the message because they felt that it's just too simple. That it just doesn't... I mean, if people really were that just free, what would they do? But the reality is that's human thinking because they do it anyway. And law and legalism and rules does nothing but bring sin. For the law brings sin. But we've been set free by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I love it here. It says, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. He goes on to talk about this rest. And then he talks and warns us and says, don't get into disobedience. The disobedience that he's talking about here is very clearly defined as unbelief. You see, a lot of people, the people when they were coming into the promised land, they stumbled and didn't enter into the rest of God, into the promised land, because they were in unbelief. They didn't believe that they could truly possess the land. They preferred to hold back in fear. They stumbled through unbelief. Now, God warns us in this beautiful, bold access that we have to the throne, don't stumble through unbelief and miss out on what I want to give you. Don't stumble through unbelief and feel that you somehow have to make your own way to my mercy seat. You know, sometimes If you've been in the glory gathering for any length of time, you will know this, perhaps with your head. But there's something glorious when God really starts to reveal the mercy and the grace of God to your heart. You see, a lot of people still try to filter God through their understanding of human love. And they feel like if they haven't spent very much time with God, perhaps. Say you've had a week where, you know, the previous week you were on fire, you were spending hours with God, you were fasting, you were praying, you were absolutely excited about God. Then you had a week where you really didn't spend much time with the Lord, you didn't spend much time in prayer, you didn't spend much time worshiping or reading the Bible. Then you come to the glory gathering on Friday night, the worship's so lovely. And you come in and you start to lift your hands. And you know what? If you have a filter like that on your thinking, you may feel that, well, it might take me a little while to get back to where I was. Or you might feel like perhaps you are going strong with the Lord and then you've had this just a bit of a time where you've not really been pressing in, you've not really felt like you've been much on fire. And then you get an opportunity to pray for somebody. And all of a sudden you feel like, you know, it's probably going to take a while before I'm going to be in that place where I could really release the anointing, or whether I could, before I could pray for the sick or prophesy. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? Because we have inherently in the flesh a works mentality, a human way of thinking that somehow our actions dictate our access to the throne of God. Yet the message of the kingdom is that when God looks at you, he looks at you saying, I've paid for everything you've ever done, everything you were going to do. I have no problem with your sin. I am ready for you to receive my mercy. Hear me. God hates sin. That's why Jesus had to die. But he is no longer looking at you and saying, no, I can't look at you. The moment you put your face toward him and you begin to approach him, he is there saying, come here, let me hold you, let me embrace you, for I have paid for your sin. Hallelujah. Now, you may know that with your head, but I believe the Holy Spirit's wanting to begin to give you a revelation of this access we have to the throne of grace. You see, unbelief is rife amongst the believers. It's so subtle. We mix grace with a works achievement mentality that like, well, you know, if I had been in the prayer meeting this morning, maybe then I could have a wonderful worship time. Does anybody else think like me sometimes? Or if I'd done this, maybe then I could. You know what? God wants you to recognize that, yes, if you've been in the prayer meeting this morning, you're going to be overflowing. But God wants you to recognize that if you weren't there and you walk in, you have the right to come boldly before the throne of grace, to be looked on not as like a, well, it's nice to see you. I haven't seen you for a while. That's not how God looks at you. He looks at you and goes, I'm so happy to see you, come here. And you can come right up and be embraced by God and absolutely loved on and be told, you are my rose, you are the apple of my eye, you are altogether lovely, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you are pure and without any hint of hypocrite, any hint of condemnation, because the Bible says, Romans 8 verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You take one little step toward him and he is there. Now, you may know that in theory, but I would challenge you, there are many of you here that have not really begun to embrace it in experience. Everything in the kingdom of God is accessed by faith. Faith pleases God.
We are saved by faith. Hallelujah. By the grace of God through faith. We lay hold of it. We say, yes, I believe, I receive it. Therefore, I'm saved. Hallelujah. I believe it. I receive it. I'm saved because I believe you paid for my sin. I can't pay for it. And you said I don't have to. All I have to do is exchange my life for yours and say, here, Lord, help. I need your mercy. I receive it. Thank you very much. That's it. Faith. That's actually like good. Help me. Jet lagging. Help me. Yes. Hooray. Yay for the word of God. But God wants you to have that attitude with every single thing you ask. He wants you to ask with an expectation. You see, the Bible says that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He wants you to come before him, not trying to have faith, but with a completely different mindset that says, here I am, your favorite one. Because you are. The Bible says you are the apple of his eye. We are all his favorite. Hallelujah. So that you come before him and boldly before the throne of grace. The Bible actually says, if you want to have a look at it, ask what you will in my name and I will do it. Save that for another day. You know who that's for? That's for those who will boldly come. Who will boldly come. A lot of people stand at a distance and wait for something to happen. Here I am, but you don't approach in faith expecting that he's going to embrace you. You stand back waiting to see what's going to happen. And God says, boldly come by faith. Don't stumble and miss out on the blessing, on the embrace, on the relationship that I desire for you by stumbling through unbelief. It is only unbelief that will cause him grief and cause him to react, because that is the thing that is keeping you from being in full fellowship with him. That's right, James. I'll preach to you. Hallelujah. You see, and we sometimes maintain that attitude when we go to ask him for help. Help. As though I hope he does something. But God wants you to look at him not as somebody that is distant, that is probably a bit annoyed with you, is probably a little bit, just watching to see how you're going to perform before he'll do something. God wants to totally, radically awaken the church to the love of the Father. He wants to awaken you out of the bondage of lies. God has the enemy has people wandering in the wilderness, walking around trying to be good, trying to earn the favor of God, trying to feel like they deserve to boldly approach the throne of grace. And God is saying, hey, look at me. This is not about what you can do, what you have done. This is about you boldly believing that I am enough. Hallelujah. You see, if you have that understanding, you will never, you'll never feel like an orphan. You'll never feel like you have to stand back at a distance. You see, if you would grab a hold of this revelation, you don't need to be afraid that it'll somehow make you lazy and not wanting to please God, because the legalistic works mentality will never actually let you go. It'll simply have you on this treadmill that goes round and round in the wilderness. And God says, look, just be free. I'm not mad at you. I have forgiven you. I am not disillusioned with you, because I had no illusions about you in the first place. I am standing here and saying, please don't stumble in the wilderness like they did. I had the promised land for them and they said, no, it looks scary. I don't think we can do it. He says, don't stumble like they did, but come and enter the rest, the place where it is finished, where it is done, and you are pure and you are clean, not by your works, but by the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's a good book. If you haven't got one, you should get one. It's called the Holy Bible. Shandarabahasekia. What would it look like if when you sing, what does it look like when God is all around, you actually say, I believe he is. Not theoretically, but absolutely in your heart, you say, yes, God. And if you're struggling, you say, help, God. And he says, yes, I am your ever-present help in time of need. Thank you for asking. Here I am. I've been waiting to give you this revelation. Where should I read, Lord? Ah, let me show you. Isn't this magnificent? Oh, God, more revelation. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I would love to, he says. Anyway. Hallelujah. You see, I believe that a people that would truly awaken, this is why I hammer the message of grace. If you will truly awaken, not theoretically, not with your head, but with your heart, to the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, it's going to get really fun. It is really going to get glorious, because you are no longer going to be one going, I'll give it a go. But you're going to be one that stands and says, I am a child of the Most High God. As Christ is, so am I in this world. It's not going to lead you into pride. It's going to lead you into absolute messed up adoration that says, all I want is you. Hallelujah. And then if you mess up a little bit and you go away from a fiery passion, he stands there waiting, pleading. He'll send little birds to speak to you. Look at them, aren't they beautiful? He'll talk to you. You'll hear a secular song on the radio and he'll be speaking at you every angle, trying to get to you, until finally your heart goes, he loves me. Oh, how he loves me. And you know what? You can pick up right where you left off. You don't have to work up again. You see, but if you decided to, you know, oh, I'm just going to have a little taste here and there, you're not really tasting of the truth of this message, because the truth of this message is addictive. It is absolutely addictive. The more you see, the more you long for. Hallelujah. He is not afraid of your freedom. He doesn't want you spending 90% of your life trying to get where he's already put you. I have people come to me on the altar and they say, Pastor Catherine, I just feel like I'm so far from God. Could you please pray for me? I'm just so far away from him. And I feel like, how do I pray for that? All I can do is pray that God will release faith in your heart to see what he's done, that you are not at a distance, that you are being blindfolded, that you are being lied to. There is nothing that has to happen for you to come into the right place except for you to open your eyes and see and believe. Oh, that's good. Sometimes we maintain an Old Testament theology where we feel like, you know, we have to really go through a certain specific way to get to God. We got to do this and we got to do that, or you might feel like, well, you know, only the really red hot ones get to hear prophetic words or get to see God move in miracles. So all of that mentality is based on old man-made religion. That's why in these last days the older brothers are going to get very jealous of the younger. New ones who come into the kingdom of God, the prodigal sons, who are having a party in the house. Well, they're standing outside going, I've worked really hard and I haven't had that. Basically, that story is, that God is so good. Every time you take a step toward Him, He is like the father of the prodigal son toward you. Every single day, running towards you, wrapping His arms around you, saying, He is all my authority. He is the ring on your finger. You are completely a son in the house. You have the authority of my son. Come into the house and enjoy my kingdom. Hallelujah. But religion and the older brother stand outside and go, oh, I haven't had one of them. And the father's saying, it's been here for you all along. But what has happened? Through unbelief, he stumbled and missed the rest, the glory. This is a really good message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's because it's the Bible. I like this book. And you know, if you believe this, and you really start to jump in and, like, unafraid go, okay, I believe. I'm clean, absolutely, like, woe clean. I don't have to try and fix myself up or chop stuff off me. I just come and He gives me all His clean, brand new clothes, and that's not a one-off thing. It's a continuous thing. His mercies are new every single morning, right there. Every moment I come to Him, He's there ready to shower mercy and grace on me. If I believe that, how am I going to walk around? How am I going to behave? I'm not going to walk around with fear and shame and worrying about what people think about me. You are the center of your Father's eye. You are not on the outside looking in. That's what the apple means. It's a unique English translation. I've tried to do it in other languages and translators look at me hopelessly. But the apple of His eye is translated the pupil, the very center of His eye. You are at the center of His love, His adoration, and His delight. And if you lived in that place, you would walk around with, let me show you what the word says, confidence. Hallelujah. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. That means when you need to ask for something, it's so, you have the Holy Ghost, Joel. He and I have the same God. You can ask whatever you will, knowing with confidence. I don't have to beg or hope, but by faith. Faith that is not intellectual, but faith that is just simple and childlike and is birthed and awakened by the love of God. Faith works by faith works by, that's what the Bible says. Faith works by love. You don't have to try and have this faith and wish you had that faith. You just need to ask God, show me your love for me. Show me the truth of who you are. For God is love. That is who He is. He is love. He is not condemnation. He is not looking at you angrily. He is love. Perfect love that has paid the price for all of your sin. Perfect love that wants to be joined with you, move with you, and cause you to do great exploits in His name, to cause you to walk with confidence and a joy ever increasing and full of glory. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean you'll never have any troubles, but you'll never again have to have troubles alone. You'll never again have to have troubles and despair and think, what's going to happen? You will have a bubbling hope inside of your heart that is continually being sparked by the love of God. It cannot be dimmed. It cannot go out. Something bad happens and your heart goes, "Ooh, this is going to be a great outcome." It's true. This Does somebody else want to have a go? Anybody could do it. It's all here. You know, like an engine, I know nothing about mechanics, but you know how they like spark things and make things work? That's what love is like. It's continually sparking stuff in your heart that continually is so full of hope, great expectation. Hallelujah. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not things not seen. And it is made to move and to work by the continual outpouring of the love of God. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. Lord, I truly do ask for this awakening in each one of our hearts in ever-increasing measures. Holy Spirit, shed abroad this truth in our heart, Lord, that we would truly understand and know your love, oh God, the height and the depth and the width and the breadth of it. Lord, help us, Holy Ghost. Cause us, Lord, to be enlightened in the eyes of our understanding, in the knowledge of you and what you've done. Lord, the hope of our calling, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and the greatness of the power toward us who believe. Lord, to you be glory in the church. To you be glory in the church, Lord, for you are great and you are worthy, Lord. Father, we thank you for it. You know, some people feel like it's, you know, this sort of preaching is, well, they get worried about it. They think, well, you know, isn't that just like seeking for yourself? But the truth is, you cannot help anybody else truly with whole power and strength without first receiving what he wants to give you. He doesn't want you to help the world by standing on the outside as a beggar. He wants you to help from the place of rest at the right hand of the Father, where you can truly move and do and live in power. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Father, we worship you. We really love you, God. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your outpouring, God.